Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday, October 25th, 2015 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. Brothers and sisters, this is how Kropotkin would define an authentic economy. An economy for a free global humanity. Quote, political economy ought to occupy with respect to human societies a place in science similar to that held by physiology in relation to plants and animals. It must become the physiology of society. It should aim at studying the needs of society and the various means, both hitherto used and available under the present state of scientific knowledge, for their satisfaction. It should try to analyze how far the present means are expedient and satisfactory, economic or wasteful, and then concern itself with the discovery of means for the satisfaction of these needs with the smallest possible waste of labor and with the greatest benefit to mankind in general. Unquote from Peter Kropotkin's essay, Modern Science and Anarchism. Now that's just common sense, isn't it? I'm certain that as we begin planning our new global social arrangement premised on non-coercion and the limitless development of our gifts, we're going to find that most of what we come up with is just common sense. Power believes it has, by means of its political economy, organized the world for us into more or less nice, neat packages, and that their acts manifest a higher reason that the rest of us, not being trained philosophers, cannot possibly grasp, as we're too trapped in the world of mere appearance, in the mundane and gross material, while they are embodiments of the supremely spiritual, the purest logic, a crystalline, if opaque, to the untrained, dialectics. And so they, with the speed of their severity, of their ruthless conviction, applied their logic to us, ruled and ranked us, applied these means, this scheme, to everything, according to their needs for realizing their paterfamilias's dream of the Republic. All life was to be ruled by this logic. All life was to be fit into a category, a class, with a quantity attached. No matter that wherever they worked their logic, joyous freedom was supplanted by unhappiness, an unhappiness that spread round the world like a virus, the unhappiness that comes when life is forced to fit into their concept of it. We look at the earth and see that which feeds us, guides our feet, bears our stories, pilgrims with us, moors us when we come to her to sleep. But those who worship power don't see these things, but rather only qualities of their own invention that either fit or don't fit into their concept of it, that either submit without protest or submit with punishment. What we want is to structure our relations authentically, such that we can honor that to which we owe our lives and exuberance, our joy. Life begets life. Whatever is given is returned. That is the economy of honoring our relations and our gifts, of mutual interdependence. It does not waste because there is no waste, as we feed only that which lives. And when life is fed, it gives back in life. Feeding death makes more death, like a poison that in time travels through all life's intertwinings, freezing that which moves till all is still. It is an illness, this restless need to rule over us, an atrophied, frozen thought process that cannot reverence life. These are people who want the earth trashed, no matter what pretty words they put in their mouths against this, because then we can no longer, in relation with our earth, be self-sufficient. Profligacy, waste, works for them because it results in eventual material hardship for us, forces us to come to their terms, forces us to come begging to them. This is the sum total of all our efforts when subject to the power man. This is where their economy leads us inevitably to material hardship, to cages and leashes.